He's funny. He's smart. He can act. He can sign. He can sing. He can play piano. Did I say he's cute? He's next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You know this song, don't you? You recognize this song?
I know this song.
It kind of, yes. The saxophone.
I edited myself into the song.
I love this song. I love it. The Bone and Beautiful. It's hello, good. You guys. Bone and Beautiful interview coming on right now. I'm James Lott Jr., your host here on AfterBuzz TV. And I have to bring you folks from The Bold and the Beautiful to sit down and talk to you and get to know them a little better. We're spotlighting them. Yes, we are spotlighting them. And this gentleman, he really can do it all. I've already admitted on my show I had a crush on him. And so now I'm meeting him in person, and it's all true. He's done Broadway, off-Broadway. He's also done lots of TV. You have a recurring role on, was it Iron Fist? Also on Marvel, doing that. He plays Saul Feinberg. I won't be crazy for a second. Feinberg. Not really the second or junior age of Saul Feinberg.
Saul Feinberg, yeah.
If your grandfather gets the same name. Alex Wise.
Hello.
Hello. See, the applause.
Oh, down. Wow. Wow.
Down. He'll be here for a while.
Thank you for having me, James. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. Seriously, you are... I was doing my research on you. You're so multi-talented.
Oh, thank you.
Because you never know. On these shows, they get people from everywhere. I mean, again, the casting department in Bold and Beautiful, great job. And they cast all of you guys. I was telling Courtney Grossman the same thing. The whole Spectra clan, you guys all work.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Which is... Because you're playing off a legacy character yourself, too, especially.
Yeah, it's really... That's very meaningful to me to be a part of something that has... so many people are invested in the history of this show, and so I really am very honored to be a continuation of that legacy that is The Bold and the Beautiful.
Did you see any of the late Saul's work? The guy who played Saul, his work?
I did. Michael Fox. Yeah. I watched a lot of clips of him right after I got this job, and... especially at the beginning, I was inspired by what he did and by the sweetness and the support that he gave to Sally. And then as it's gone on, I've been allowing myself, I guess that's the best word, allowing myself to branch off from what he did and try to really create my own character and be my own guy.
You're doing
I think,
it.
Thanks. I mean, I think Saul the Third, perhaps.
Yeah, we don't know your father or anything. So
I don't know what his name is yet, but maybe we'll find out together. I think he really is his own guy, so yeah. I'm trying to embrace that and pave my own way with it.
Well, and one way that's happening, and this is the writers doing, of course, is that I think the original Saul always had a crush on Sally, but it was never he never really went as far as like really to do anything. Where you actually are, I mean, we were so heartbroken last week's episodes and the week before's episode. I mean, you really wanted to be there for Sally and be your character and really be a partner, and she dropped you for Thomas.
Yeah, you know, it's...
And you played it so well, though. You played it so well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. I mean,
so,
as an actor, I mean, those scenes, how did it feel for you? Like, you're basically being turned down.
Well, you know, I just drew on my real-life experience. thankfully, I have such amazing scene partners, and when I'm there with Courtney Hope, and
yes.
It all feels very real to me. I feel very invested in Courtney as Courtney and Courtney as Sally. I love her so much, and so to play opposite her, she gives me so much to work with, and then I can just do my best to just be in the scenes, if that makes any sense.
You gotta be present in all your scenes, obviously. You gotta be present in the acting. She's so good. I mean, Courtney Hope is just like me. She's so good.
She's an outstanding actor. I feel very lucky to be there with her.
She had to really come... Her shoes were big to fill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. The legacy that she's following is incredible, but I think she's doing a pretty good job at creating her own legacy. She's incredible.
I agree. And your costuming. Very interesting. It's very... You and her both kind of dress... Like in the past,
makes
it the modern. I love it though. People on my fans are like, yeah, we like the way you guys kind of look. It's kind of part 40s and whatever, and then that's up to date too. You know what's going to happen for you? For Saul, he's going to be kind of this kind of retro guy.
You know, I have no idea. I'm glad though that I think my hairstyle is becoming a little less. I think it was kind of. You know, and I absolutely love the hair department. I just can't stress that enough. They're my favorite people on that set. But But, you know, we've found a way of making me look a little cooler. You know, I think Saul deserves to look at least a little cooler.
Yeah, why not?
You know I haven't gotten the girl yet. Yes. I know that I'm getting rejected left and right on this show. However, you know, I have to have some dignity.
Yes.
And so we're styling my hair up a little bit, and I feel a little cooler. I'm not going to lie to you.
But I had to laugh. No, I had to laugh because one of the scenes last week with you and the hugely tall Pearson Frode.
He's really tall. But I watch the show. He makes me look like I'm 4 feet tall. I'm 5'7", you know?
Yes.
So I'm not a tall guy, but I'm not
you're
that
not, no,
short.
No, you're not that short, no.
No, he makes me look... I mean, like, I'm the mayor of Munchkin City. And, with all due respect to the mayor of Munchkin City.
Of course,
had a very difficult job and did it well. But I watch those scenes. I'm like, geez, can they give me an apple box to stand on? So that's the joke that I have with Pearson. You know, we're like, one apple box over here. At least a half apple, please.
He's super, super, super tall.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like a Smurf in the Valley of the Giants, I would say.
Sure.
And no, the Smurf. We love the Smurfs.
With no disrespect to the Smurfs. They did a very difficult job, and they did it very well. Right, James?
They did.
That's right.
Yes, but there's a scene where you and your acting were so good at it, you're seething. He's trying to talk down. And the fans agreed with me. He was hard on you, and he shouldn't have been. Because it really wasn't... You weren't the mastermind behind all this stuff. It was basically Shirley who was the mastermind behind all this stuff. But... He went on hard on you, and you looked at him like you wanted to climb him and beat him up.
Yeah.
And that's how it looked. It was like your acting was so good. You were just like, if you could cuss on camera, you would have. I can tell. That's how you looked. Well, you were angry.
Thank you. Thanks. I mean, you know, we had a lot of fun playing those scenes.
Yeah.
It was great to have an opportunity on this show to play that kind of vengeful and conniving person. Yes. You know, when that whole situation brings out all the anger within me, that's pretty fun. That's a great challenge.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad to be able to play those scenes, and then and we got to really dive in and dig.
And Pearson's a nice guy, which is so funny. He's like a goofy nice guy.
We laughed so much on the set, and especially I think it was I think these scenes vary, but I mean, I have another conversation with him. That's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
and we off camera, we were cracking up
so hard.
And it was pretty tough. And they came over the microphone and they're like, guys, please pull it together. We want to get out of here. We were like, sorry, like, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
You know, so I'm glad that there's such fun people on the show, and we can laugh and you know, sink our teeth into these fun scenes that give us a lot to play.
And you get to work with my girl Patricia Darbo.
To me
she's a legend to me anyway. I mean, I love her. So I've known her off and on for like 20 years. She's just like the best.
Yeah, I hope to know her for a long time too. She's incredible. She's so much fun. I don't know what to say.
She's a good spirit.
I'm really in love with these cast members I get to play with each day. I'm very, very fortunate I get to be there with them.
Yeah.
I think they make this experience as great as it is.
Yeah, because you've been around. Let's talk about some other stuff. We'll get back to Bold and Beautiful and some stuff there. Because you've done other things too. And let's name some of these shows. I mean, these are some of the shows you've done. I mean, you've done others. I loved Bad Judge. I wish the show continued.
Thanks.
I thought it was a great show. Kate Watson thought it was a great job.
She was so kind.
She was kind?
She was so kind and nice to everyone. I always feel like when I'm on a TV show, the star always, oftentimes, sets the tone of what's happening.
Makes sense.
Right? And on Bad Judge, she was so funny and nice, and that really trickled down, and it was such a joyous set to be on. I had a really great couple of days on there.
That's nice to know.
Yeah.
You've done Masters of Sex.
I did.
Talk about I'm now thinking of Bad Judge. Now we're talking about a show, Masters of Sex. I mean, like, it's a period piece, isn't it? Isn't that in the 50s or 60s?
That's right. I dress pretty much exactly the same as I do with Saul Feinberg.
You're like, I know these clothes.
I got that. Part my hair hard on the side. We got it. All right, let's do it. Masters of Sex. That was an amazing time. That was the first job I did in Los Angeles. About 3 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. And where are you from?
I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. As Cleveland, a nice guys. Midwestern
yes.
boy.
Yes. I'll be in Cleveland in a few weeks.
Really? For what?
That's some Bob Evans. Just kidding. I love Bob Evans. No, Bob Evans is the bomb. They're the best breakfast on earth. They have real biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, they do.
Not the stuff out here in California. real biscuit gravy.
It's real good. I used to go there with my dad a lot when I was a kid.
I have family in Middleburg Heights. I have family in Brunswick.
Oh my gosh.
Medina. I know all about Ohio.
Okay. I'm from Beechwood, like near Shaker Heights.
Yes. Shaker Heights.
People know Shaker Heights, I think.
I know me some Ohio. actually, a lot of Ohioans actually in California now. They're doing this business. So I know a lot of people from Ohio here.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, Cleveland was so great to grow up in. Yeah. You know, I think it has an interesting reputation around the country as being the butt of jokes. But actually growing up there was wonderful because it has such an incredible art scene. And so I was always doing plays and there was always theater groups for me to be a part of. And so it helped me so much become an actor. And I think that's true for so many people in the performing arts who grew up in Cleveland, that they can attribute so much of what they learned to the kind of youth programs that are available. And also the professional theater that they have in Cleveland is amazing. So I was very lucky to be a part of that, and then I think that's why so many Clevelanders find themselves in Los Angeles and in New York and so many other performing hubs around the world.
I agree. There are a lot of good folks in the Midwest. I love the Midwest.
Me too.
I love the attitude. I love the feeling. I love the food. And in Cleveland, it's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there. I've been there 3 times.
Really?
I love it. You ever been in there yet?
No.
You have to go.
But I don't know. It's like, you know, when they have like a, you know, an early Broadway exhibit, I'll be there. But, you know, until then, I'll be Netflixing. So
I guess. Yeah. Well, I like music, I guess. I went there once when they had a Bruce Springsteen exhibit. It was really good.
Oh, I bet that was cool.
It was actually really cool. But it's a huge place. And it has like 4 stories. And it's there. And it's right there. The lake effect. Remember the lake effect all the time? It's cool. It's the lake effect.
That's right.
Everything's the lake effect. I remember that. So it's kind of cool. You're also on a show that I like. I guess he was on that. Bored to Death.
Yeah.
With the eclectic people that were on that show, I'm like, I'm trying to remember which one you were on there.
So I was Ted Danson's assistant named Steven, and he kept forgetting my name.
Now it's coming together, yes.
Yeah, so that was the first TV job I ever did, and I got to work with Ted Danson.
Hello.
It's not a bad way to start.
And what's his name, Jason Schwartzman?
Jason Schwartzman, Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, it's an eclectic group of people.
Yeah, and incredible comedians on that show, incredible actors. And so that was really cool. I had no idea what I was doing, and I was scared out of my mind. But I was very thankful to be there, and I had Ted Danson showing me the ropes. He would say, okay, now look, we're going to go to this camera, we're going to go in for your coverage. And he was the one who taught me about how to be on a set.
Wow. Okay. Ted Danson. Who could say that?
I know, right?
Like, Midwest people are the best. Our engineers from Midwest also. You know, they are the best. I think they are. I really do. I love Midwest people.
I like them too.
Yes. But so Ted Danson, I mean, we're talking Cheers, Becker. I mean, just all kinds of.
Yeah, and is it The Good Place?
The Good Place he has right now. Yes, Good Place he has right now.
Yeah, he's a wonderful actor and a really nice guy. I mean, he would always take the time to say, how are you? How's your family? He invested in who I was as a person as well as a young performer, and I'm very thankful to him. I've not seen him since that show, but I hope to run into him one day and thank him for, you know, for helping me out so much.
I wish it would be funny if he couldn't remember your name. That'd be the funny part. So you're then you have to laugh. You're like, there you go.
You know what? It's on brand, Ted.
Yes.
It's
on brand.
Yeah.
Modern Family. You did an episode of Modern Family.
I did,
So it's kind of funneled you through Modern Family. So what was that experience like? Do you remember?
You know, it was so fast. I think I was there for 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
But it was so cool to be part of a show that's so beloved and so widely seen. And I got to work with Ed
O'Neill.
Thank you. Yes, Ed O'Neill.
Another like TV legend.
I know. I've worked with so many TV legends.
And
Masters of Sex, I was with Michael Sheen in all my scenes. And Lizzie Kaplan. I've done okay working with some people have really shown me, you know, how to be in front of a camera.
That's a good question. So is that, because, you know, we don't know, so we get into this business, we don't always know what we're going to know. And we may have our own ideas what the business may be like when we come in it. So are you pleasantly surprised that you're meeting people who are nicer than you thought would be, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm not surprised, but I'm humbled and I'm thankful when I get to meet someone I respect who's also really kind to me. And I can learn from them and I can be their friend. And that's happened more often than not.
Yeah.
But I think in this day and age, after all of the terrible things that happened in the first, you know, era of Hollywood, I think more often than not, the people who are doing well today have been kind along the way. There's so many people.
That's true. I'll go with you. I'll go with you on that.
I mean, I think, you know, and of course we all have exceptions. We all have heard stories or experienced things, whatever. We won't talk about that on mic. I'll tell you later.
Yes. We'll exchange some people who didn't like me in the soap world. I'll tell you a few people don't like me. But most people are really nice. I love them. Yes.
Good. Yes. But you know, I've been very, I've just been thankful to work with people like Ted Danson, with Michael Sheen, with Patrika Darbo, people whom I respect and I love.
We've been around for a long time, and they get it too. They get it. They totally get it. AJ says, I'm trying to read, make sure I get your names correctly. There are people who are watching.
Oh, good.
AJ says, peace, says he was amazing on Iron Fist.
Thanks. Thanks, AJ.
So now you're part of that universe too on some level, which means you will never be let go of that because you've joined soaps, so now you're in forever for that. And now you're part of this Marvel, you know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, it must be really interesting. I mean,
it's been quite a year of joining these two universes. Yes. I did not expect for my life, but I'm absolutely thrilled to be a part of both of them. Iron Fist was an awesome experience.
Yeah.
I mean, that was another one. I was working with David Wenham, all my scenes with the great David Wenham, who was in Lion and he was in Lord of the Rings, and this is an incredible actor.
Yes.
I know, right? I mean, another one. I was like, oh, wow, okay, that's how he does it. Okay, watch David Wenham, see what he does. And I could, you know, I can pick up all of these techniques or you know, tips from all these great people. It's really cool. I really like playing, you know, dorky nervous assistants because I often get to work with these powerhouses.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Right? And so it's served me well thus far.
Yes.
But Iron Fist was another where I was very humbled to be a part of such a...
How'd that come into your orbit? How'd that come to you? I mean, because I'm sure it's a coveted spot and people want to be in a Marvel TV show or film or anything.
Yeah, you know what? It started off as just an audition from my agents. But it was for something for this unknown project with some weird coded name. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what I was auditioning for. Right. And all I had to do was make a videotape. I think it was like an audition tape. I think it might have been 3 or 4 lines long. That was it. It was just right to the point. And it was something of me getting slammed up against a wall and choked. And I was like, well, I can do that. Just, you know, drawing my experience from last weekend. think about summer camp.
Yeah, there you go. I got it.
Yeah, it's great. And so I made this tape and, you know, and moved on with my life and kept doing other stuff. Yes. And then I got a phone call from my agent who said, hey, you're actually up for this thing and you have a callback. And by the way, what this is the new Marvel television show for Netflix. I was like, are you kidding me?
I know. Like, I mean, you must have been like,
what? Why? Why? Oftentimes, if I get a call and they're like, hey, you got this job, the first thing I say is, why?
Because you're good. That's why.
Thanks.
Why?
Thanks, James.
Yes.
I'm trying to accept that. But
yes.
So I had this callback, and it was a few days later. And within that time frame, I binge watched all of the Marvel shows that were available. Okay. And at that time, it hadn't been Luke Cage yet. It was just Jessica Jones and Daredevil. Okay. So I watched all 2 seasons of Daredevil and 1 of Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. And I was... watching, and then I would try to act out the scenes as they were doing them so I could get the style, you know, because it's just like soaps has its own style, so does the Marvel universe, which is all, you know, very low hushed tones and very, you know, and everything is underplayed. I mean, I'm not used to that, especially as someone who comes from
theater.
From theater, and
the
I'm
voice,
like,
the voice, I'm way back there, I can hear you.
Right. I mean, you would fit in very well in the theater, too.
Yes.
You know, you would hit that back wall very well.
Yes, I would.
So we should talk about that after. We could do a scene.
Yes.
Did
underplay it on TV
So I was trying to get down that style, and so then I got to my callback, and here's a little fun anecdote.
Ooh, yeah.
They gave me a scene. They said, this is not for your character. We're going to give you a scene for the callback that's not for your character. It's something else, but we just want to see you read some other stuff.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, great. You know,
not common, right? Not really.
I think I've seen it where they give you some scenes that are like your character that are not for the show because they still want to keep the show under wraps. They don't want anything to leak, and I understand that. But they said, we're going to give you something totally different, not your character. That hadn't happened to me before.
Yeah.
So they gave me this scene that was a 50-year-old man. talking to his young son.
That's close to my age. Wow, I'm already.
So I was like, oh, wow, well, okay. This is a nice acting challenge for me.
Okay.
So I was like, let me tell you how it is, Sonny. You know, I was really, I was working so hard on my...
Sound that old, do we?
No, but I was just trying to do something,
yeah,
you
know. That's good.
And then I got to the callback, and I read the first line, and then the casting director said, wait a second, what scene do you have? And I said, this one. I showed her. She said, some wires have been crossed, and I don't know who it was, but you got the wrong material. This is not right thing. And I was like, no! I practically fell to the floor and wept. And she was like, all right, just calm down.
It's real okay.
Yeah, so take this. Why don't you take this this actual scene you're supposed to be doing, take this away, come back in 30 minutes, and we're going to do it. And I did it as quickly as I could. I was cramming in a cafe. Wow. I came back. I did the scene the next day. I was cast on a Marvel show. It was really wild.
Yeah.
And then the experience of being there was wonderful. Yeah. Everybody was... very serious and very invested in, I don't know what else to say about it. But it was really cool.
It was a good experience. Yeah. My thing is, okay, so side note, do you like taping, audition tape, or do you like being in the room and auditioning?
Well, they both have their merits. Yes. Doing an audition tape, I get to do 20 takes until I'm happy with what I do.
Yes.
Being in the audition room, I can be sure that they're actually seeing the work that I do.
Okay, absolutely. Okay.
For all I know, they're just, you know, they're not going to even watch the tapes or you know, they already found their person or at least I get to have a conversation with the casting director, get a feel for what it is they want and, you know, have a more personal experience.
Yeah.
So I've seen both of those things help me. I've seen both of those things hurt me.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any right answer.
Okay. I'm just curious if you like one or the other, but both you find, you'll do either one. You're like, I'll audition however you want me to, right?
You know what? As long as I get to audition, as long as I get to... be up for these things and hopefully continue to do work I'm proud of, then it's a good life. It's okay.
I'll tell you something. I interviewed Ed Asner, who that was one of my crowning glories of interviewing somebody. And I've also interviewed Eric Braeden from The Restless.
Yeah, yeah.
And both of them have told me on camera that even auditioning, it's still acting.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, any chance to act... it's still good. Whether you get the part or not, you had that 10, 15 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, you got to act.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I've had to reframe it in my mind because, you know, there are a billion auditions I didn't get and there are going to be a billion I continue to not get. And that's just like, that's the life of an actor. Yeah. So every single audition I go on, it has to be a chance for me to sharpen my skills and to meet new people and to try my hand at different things. Yeah. And that oftentimes is enough. If I have worked really hard on it and I can walk away feeling proud of the work I've done, then a lot of times I can say to myself, okay, all right, it doesn't matter if I don't get that job because I did really well today.
Right.
And I feel proud of the work that I did. So the more I can hone that in for myself, I think the better experience I'll have in this business, which is pretty unforgiving, as we both know.
Yes, we do know that. We want you here for a long time.
Thanks.
We want longevity for you. That's why I'm trying to bestow that on him. Longevity, longevity.
Well, thanks, I appreciate that.
Because, yeah, this business is unforgiving. It's not as easy, but it can be rewarding.
Oh,
incredibly.
Incredibly rewarding. Yeah. I mean, this year alone, I've been very lucky the Marvel show and to be on this soap with these people I really, really love.
Okay, so have you been to any fan events yet on either?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm still not convinced I have fans.
We'll talk. You have fans. You have fans.
I kind of don't believe you.
I'm one of your fans. You have fans.
No, I don't. I got stopped by one woman in line for a bathroom. That's the only time.
What'd she say to you?
She said she's been watching the show since the beginning. Okay. She said, and what's your name? And I said, Saul. I play Saul. She's like, Saul, that's right. You're good. I was like, thanks.
In a way, that's probably better than somebody gushing over you in a way. It's like, oh, you're good.
No, she was really nice.
Yeah.
She's listening. You're really nice. Thank you so much.
We're going to talk after you've gone to a couple of events on either side, and we're going to talk there. You're going to see.
I don't know, James.
Because especially in the soap world, any kid can be a minor character. They will hold on to them. If they like him, they will hold on to them. And you're not a minor character. You are a character on Bold and Beautiful.
Yeah, but do they like me?
I like you. How can he not like Saul? Tell me. I mean, how can he not like you? You are loyal, and you're there for the team, and you're actually a nice person. You don't
do anything. Right, but I'm like half the size of Thomas. Thomas is like two of me.
Not everybody wants a big, tall, dreamy man.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I try to convince myself, too. I'm like, well, you know, the old man. No, but no, you have a chance, too.
Thanks. I like to think I
do. You do.
I mean, I'm certainly not playing this character like I'm, you know, like I'm already defeated. I'm really trying to
No, you are.
Yeah, I want to get the girl, and I'm still hoping that, you know, there's a chance.
It's a soap. You never know, right?
You never know.
You never know what could happen.
You never know, and I am very attractive.
You are. All right, so I already said that already, twice or three times. Okay, so we're going to show you why he's more attractive. We're going to show our first clip. It's just him singing. So let's this one, 2000, I think it's 2015, I believe.
Oh, she made you weird.
Oh, you are. Yeah, thank you. You're so funny in between. So funny.
And young girls say,
your hair's really average in that, too.
You can film this.
I like that.
Give him permission, you know?
Yes.
Wearing the same old shabby dress.
You have an amazing voice. I mean, like, seriously, you have an amazing voice.
But when she gets weary,
so I want to show that. So you're so good. I know you're watching going, oh my God. Someone taped that. They want to show it. Now, this is a clip from 2016. We're going to show it to you.
Oh my God.
You're so good.
This is a little Sondheim celebration.
I love Sondheim.
And they wanted us to do a song we wouldn't normally do, so I did The Witch from Into the Woods.
Which I love Into the Woods.
Me too.
It was just here. Did you see it? It was just here.
I missed it.
It was good. It was big.
How to get your wish, doesn't matter how. Anyway, it doesn't matter now. It's the last.
I cannot believe we're watching this.
There you go. I want to show that. It's just, you're so good.
Thank you
you're
very
so,
much.
Your tone, everything. It's just, you're so, and I love that. I love Into the Woods. And it was just here recently, here at the Pantages. You're so good.
Thanks, James.
A great voice. How long have you been singing?
I guess my whole life. I started off by doing musicals, and it wasn't until I was an adult that I really found my way into television.
So you did musicals basically like in high school?
Oh, yeah. But my first one, I was 6 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. I was in the ensemble of Oliver, and I've never been happier.
Well, folks, you guys, I mean, he's done Spring Awakening on Broadway. This is Estrada Jones, he's done Broadway. Off-Broadway, he did Ride the Cyclone, he did Bear.
I did Wicked.
Did Wicked?
Yeah, that's one. That's one people know.
So now here's a couple pictures.
Oh, gosh.
That's from Ride the Cyclone.
Yeah,
you're in the middle.
That's me.
That's you. That's the Spring Awakening, isn't it?
Yeah, that's me crouching down on the side being a rock star. Very sexy there in that picture.
Okay, I want to ask you a question about Spring Awakening.
Yeah,
I saw
of
it.
Did you see it here?
No, I saw it on Broadway.
Did you see the revival or the original?
I saw the original.
Okay.
Duncan Sheik wrote the music. We love Duncan Sheik. Of course,
yeah.
He was a 90s artist. He had hits in the 90s and
yeah.
became this huge now songwriter. Well, okay, so I didn't realize kind of the theme of Spring Awakening until I was halfway through watching the show. I know what I was thinking it was going to be when I came in there, but I was like, oh, so there's some kind of serious thing in there, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't realize. I don't know if I'm giving away to people if they haven't watched the musical or not. I don't know if I'm giving away or not, but
well,
it's...
Yeah, all about the way, especially in older times, but it's certainly mirrored now, when parents refuse to talk to their children and explain sexuality to them, then those misunderstandings result in, you know... destruction.
Yes, that's what I'm saying too. I'm like, yes, it's a.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, and the songs were all born out of that. I loved it, but I didn't realize what I was seeing until I started seeing it. I guess I went and was like, oh, Duncan Sheik, I know who he is, and the trailer I saw for it seemed really fun. And I was in New York, but I always try to see at least one show when I'm in New York on Broadway. Even off Broadway, I try to see shows.
Yeah, that was a good one to see.
Yeah, the last one I saw was Heather's the Musical, which was really fun.
Oh, I love that. I had some friends in that.
It was good. It was really good. And the night that I went, the original guy, Christian Slater, came to the performance.
No way.
And I got a picture of him and the guy who played him on JD on there.
That is really cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
How did you get into Broadway? I mean, this is like, millions of actors and singers are applying to,
Yeah, well, the first, I moved to New York first.
Yes.
Before Los Angeles, and I was just auditioning for shows all the time, and I was working, I was doing regional shows around the country, and some smaller things, and one of the smaller shows that I did, it was an off-Broadway musical called Lysistrata Jones, and then that got swept up by good reviews and went to Broadway.
Yeah.
And it was my dream come true. It was incredible. And then the second time it happened, I had come to L.A. already, and I did a show out here. I did the Spring Awakening production out here, and it was the Deaf West production. So they incorporated American Sign Language and young deaf actors into the show. I mean, it was
very
really
cool. Very, very
it
cool.
It was very cool. And that thing we're talking about with Spring Awakening, the way it's about parents who won't explain things to their children, that whole thing was heightened because it was hearing people who wouldn't communicate with deaf people. And so that chasm was even bigger. I mean, it was it was really amazing what Michael Arden did, who directed it, with the show. But that also got swept up in some good reviews, and I got to go back to Broadway, and I got to perform on the Tony Awards, and I was on Late Night with Seth Meyers. We did my big song on Late Night with Seth Meyers. So if you YouTube Spring Awakening Seth Meyers, you'll see my big song.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I didn't find out when I was looking for stuff. So I'm looking and seeing it. No, but so to be on Broadway, there are shows about chorus lines about that. It's about being in the chorus on a show on Broadway. Like, you actually say you were in several productions. Did you know the gravity of that? Like, when you got your first job, when you went to Broadway, were you like, oh my God, I'm on Broadway? Like, did it hit you?
Oh yeah, I've never felt so much pressure.
Well, I'm sure.
And I've never felt so much. So much joy.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was my childhood dream come true. I didn't know if, I always knew I wanted to be an actor, but I never really knew, will I be able to do what I want to do? I know, because I know how hard it is.
Yes.
And so, the fact that I did, I've always been, and have continued to, do new kinds of things and get to reinvent myself, like in the soap world.
Yeah.
I'm eternally thankful and grateful, and I just keep trying to do good work and put my best foot forward and all.
Well, you're winning. The fact that you're doing it, you're winning. I always say you're on your lane. Your things are coming up for you. You're getting projects. That's a win.
Thanks.
I think alone. I mean, and the fact that you
believe me, there are so many setbacks. You know?
Yeah, we know. And people know out there who look at us here and they're going to watch and they think we have it all or what they think we have. And it's just, oh, he's on TV. It doesn't come easy for any of us. It doesn't come easy at all. It's very hard. It takes hard work, dedication, faith, passion, all that stuff to do it. And sometimes, I don't just say there's luck. I don't believe in luck. But I was telling Courtney on our show, I always believe that luck favors the prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that if there is luck, I mean I think it'll come to you if you put in that preparation, if you're always ready for it, the opportunities will come. A couple of them will come, but you have to be ready to receive that opportunity.
Yes, definitely. So I'm sure your parents are probably proud of you when they said you're on Broadway and stuff like that. I'm sure there was like, oh my God, this is like crazy talk.
Yeah, I have great parents who love the arts. Who love?
Oh, they do. So they support that you're an actor.
Oh yeah, okay. They're great. My parents live in New York City. Oh, my mom sees almost every single show. She's a better theater goer than I am.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that. That's the only way. New York City is my magic city. I love New York City. I think it's just such the buzz, the subways, the rats. I mean, all of it. I just love it. So I love it so much. Yeah. You live there. I mean, like, how do you handle the harsh winters? And how do you handle?
I mean, barely.
it can get cold in Cleveland. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, in New York, it seems like it's just. Ugh.
It's hard. It is hard.
You have to go for an audition. And it's like 20 degrees.
It's like, yeah, it's 20 degrees, or even worse. It's 100 degrees and you know, sweat through your clothes and you show up looking like, you know, like a swamp monster. And you're like, hey, I'm here.
Hire me.
Put the camera on me. You know, I'm ready. You know, it's not easy. You know,
do you think New York, well, I'm going to use some bad English right now, grew you up? You think a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But so did Los Angeles.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, so many experiences I've had have, you know, kicked my butt and made me more of an adult. And, yeah.
I know New York can be really harsh. I know that. That's kind of...
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm still growing up, though. Yes. You know, I still have a ways to go.
Yeah, you can always go. Yes, of course.
I have things to learn. Believe it or not, I have things to learn. Geez.
I always tell people, the education ends when you die.
Yeah, that's true.
So you should always be learning something.
Yeah.
Always. I learn things all the time. And our people who are in here are saying hello. Lakeisha Jones says hello. Oh, Lakeisha thinks that you and Thomas will be good rivals for each other.
I think so. I could take him. I could beat him up.
Yeah. See, the bigger all, the harder they fall. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like a David and Goliath thing.
Yes.
And also, he might have size on, you know, he might be tall, but I can, you know, fit around tight corners and be crafty.
Yes. I like that.
Okay.
Well, they're ready for you to snap on Thomas as well. They want to know, who is your favorite character on The Bold and Beautiful right now, besides yourself, of course? Do you have one on there?
My favorite character?
Yeah. Do you have one?
I like Eric Forrester.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's awesome.
Yeah. John the patriarch of the family.
Yeah. Also, John McCook is one of my favorite people there.
Yeah. I heard he's very nice.
Oh, my gosh. He's the best.
I heard he's funny, too.
He's someone who's, you know, in some ways taken me under his wing and shown me the ropes. And he's been so kind to me. And there are days that I've been in his dressing room, you know, like when he's not there, I go to whatever dressing room is available.
Oh, okay.
Usually that's how it works.
Okay.
And so when I get to stay in what I call the McCookery, those are always good days. And I leave John little notes.
Oh, you do? Know? Awesome.
Yeah.
What was the last note you left him?
I think I said something like, oh, gosh. I think it was probably really filthy.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So,
Is it G? Okay.
I think it was probably, you know, not PG.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can tell me later.
About, you know, the raves I've thrown in the McCookery. A lot of raves in the McCookery.
Wait, are you following basketball right now?
Yeah.
I don't watch basketball myself at all. I'm a football person. Poor Browns, but I'm a football person. But now the Cavs and I guess the Golden State Warriors are in something.
Right.
Right now.
Right.
So I don't know what that is. That's a Cleveland thing. I don't know what it is.
Right. Sports.
Yeah, you like me. I
NBA
don't know what's going
on. Finals.
The finals. Thank you. She's a season pass.
Finals.
Yeah.
Finals.
You sound like me. I'm like,
I'm going to like crawl under this desk.
Oh, no, I'm the same way. She, our engineer, knows more about all that than we do. I'm like, I thought I'd ask because it's a Cleveland thing. And
sure.
You know.
Sure. I mean, you know, we're big LeBron fans.
Okay, there you go. Since he came back and redeemed himself.
Sure. I don't know. Everyone else in Cleveland was like, yay, he's back. And I was like, guys, I don't know if we should forget.
Exactly. He left us. He didn't give us a ring, and he left us.
I was like, listen, it's going to take more than an article in Sports Illustrated for me to get back on LeBron's side. I'm going to need a personal visit at home where he apologizes to my face. And I say this as someone who's not a sports fan.
Exactly. But still.
Someone who really likes my home city and was very hurt by him leaving.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, people were angry.
Yeah. So,
Katie Bonnet. I want to say your name correctly, or Bonetti. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. Oh, she wants Thomas and Saul to become friends.
I would love that.
So you guys would fight first, and then a bromance happens.
That'd be really fun.
That would be kind of fun, actually.
That'd be fun, because also, you know, what I don't think the fans of the show have gotten to see yet is how much fun Pearson and I have. How much we laugh. And
well, I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the funniest guy, and we just have had the best time. And so I would love if at some point we got to team up and... And, you know, maybe
take down somebody else.
Take down, yeah.
Bill. Dollar Bill. Take down Dollar Bill.
Yeah, take down Bill.
Yeah.
And his skyscrapers. Why is he always fondling skyscrapers?
I love that he's like, it's not an it, it's a her. I think it's the most funniest. It's just so funny.
Let's be real. That skyscraper is a him, and he keeps fondling it.
I love Don Diamond. He does such a great job as Dollar Bill.
Yeah, he's great.
But yeah, he's always touching it and staring at it.
Like, we get it, Bill. You like skyscrapers.
Like skyscrapers. I'm like, oh my God, it's so funny.
Put your hands in your pocket.
That's hilarious. Now, also someone thinks that you and Sally would make a great couple.
Oh, that's really nice. Someone sent me a link to something the other day on Twitter. Unfortunately, I look at my notifications sometimes.
Uh-oh.
And someone said that 93% of the fans don't think that Sally and I will ever get together. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, you don't know that for sure.
You don't know that for sure.
Yes.
I am an incredibly skilled lover. And I look forward to proving all of those fans
That's
wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
I believe him. Now we're going to show a scene from him on B&B. Yeah. Oh, that's commercial. Thank you.
It's okay. We're being sponsored today. It's fine. Really just...
you like cars, like trucks.
I love cars. Like, and honestly, Toyota has helped me so much in my journey. And I really hope that Toyota can bring
you
the joy.
You drove out here to California, right?
Now I mean, I drove here to California in a Toyota. In a 2017 Tundra, in fact. Oh, that summer drive. We do make it easy. Toyota.
There you go.
All
See,
right.
They should hire him. We can do voiceovers. Like, you should hire him. And here we go.
Coco might never speak to me again after this.
You know, Sally, what is best for this company is best for all of us. That includes Coco.
Yeah, I'm not sure she's going to see it that way.
Well, if she ever finds out. No, I just... The fashion industry is a lot tougher than we thought, and we are forced to improvise.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of competition these days.
Oh, yeah. Way more than when my grandpa and your Aunt Sally were doing their thing.
I told myself that I was never going to cross the line, and now here I am seriously thinking about putting a spying device on my sister.
Well, you said she's been eyeing this necklace, so now she gets to wear it.
I like your reasoning.
It's a secret with camera inside.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
I'm supposed to be taking care of Coco and looking out for her.
Well, look at it this way. If Spectre starts making money, then Coco will be taken care of.
Yeah, I get that. I know. It just doesn't feel very good. I wanted to do this on the up and up and be a legit designer. And then I got trashed hard by Jarrett Maxwell.
What does he know anyway?
We just can't fold. We can't quit. I just really wish we didn't have to stoop so low. I just feel like I'm disrespecting Coco.
I just like this scene
betraying
because
and
it's a one-two scene. It's you and her just talking about your situation. And you had an answer for everything, so to speak, your character. To me, I like his simplicity. It's just like, you're just, well, no, we got to do this. And I laugh because it's like, she won the necklace, and now she gets to wear it. I mean, it's kind of like, you had an answer for everything. And she's really going through her brain. Her character's going, I don't really want to do this. And you're trying to do what's best for the company and kind of bring them up.
I love
that scene.
The way that I saw that scene also was, it was an attempt for me to connect with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, attempt for me to comfort her. And also, I want you to know, I have no idea what I'm doing with those tools.
Oh, no. You're like, it's just in there.
You know, thankfully they didn't close up on my hands, but I was like a monkey banging a hammer on a computer. That was actually what was happening. That scene was sick.
You had the magnifying glass, the magnifying thing, and but you look so real. That's good acting.
Thank you. I used my acting skills.
They're all Saul's a hard worker. Oh, Matthew M. Payne says hello. Says Saul the tailor. You saw him at the Emmys. Talked about the Emmys.
Hi, Matthew Payne.
So yeah, so funny. Yeah, so hard. So you literally were just like, well, you look real to me. So I can't even.
Good.
Let's go.
Good. No idea.
So you really
doing.
Can't make jewelry at all, or put a device in the jewelry that you can't.
I know.
Right?
You're
like my ring. You
what if that was my audition? They're like, assemble this. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, here we go.
You know, here's what's sad. It's Christmas Eve. I go to my... I have a daughter and I have three grandkids. My daughter puts together all the Christmas presents and I sit drinking a glass of whiskey.
Great.
It should be the father. It should be me putting... I was never good at that.
Nah.
When it came to like putting stuff together, I'm like, let the girls do it. They do it.
Yeah, but you know, do what you do best. Yeah. The rest will work itself out.
It'll work itself out, yes.
And if you do have to put together those presents, just... make sure they don't do a close-up of your hands. And you'll be fine.
I love it. That's so funny. But yeah, but again, but that scene was, yes, you were trying to connect with her.
Yeah.
Like you said, I agree with you. It was a nice, quiet scene, so to speak.
It
was
I liked it because of that, too. I like when they've given me, when there have been some intimate moments like that just feel like two people mm-hmm. trying to connect, or you know, yeah. that's always nice.
It is nice.
Felt nice to play. And also, I'm looking at that scene. I feel like I'm like 12 years old there.
Oh my God.
I'm kind of shocked at how. I'm like, well, Sally, you know, like, what am I doing? So I, you know, I think it's interesting watching now and also watching the kinds of things that I'm, you know, where the show is now.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of feel like I've grown up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Just in the past few months. Yes. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm aging exponentially. Right?
So when I see you next time, you'll be that 50-year-old guy.
Yeah, I might be.
What's on that sun?
I mean, it really manifests itself in, like, joint pain, you know?
That's true. It's so... Oh, no, you're not even joking. I just turned 48 last month, and I'm telling you, I get out of bed sometimes, I'm like, why does that side hurt?
Yeah.
I stepped on this side. Like, why is that? Why is my arm giving out all of a sudden? It really is joints.
Right, and I'm just like 1 inch off on my pillow, and my back is screwed up for the next day. Why? Why does that happen?
I don't know either. Why? They don't warn you.
People don't warn you.
They don't.
And I am wearing enough makeup right now for Queen Elizabeth. So... exponential aging.
Yes, it's very much. You chose profession, didn't you? You chose it.
It chose me. Let's be real.
You know, yeah, it did choose
I'm a prisoner.
Yeah. I can't stop if I wanted to. I just have to keep going in this business.
What? Like, I can't do anything else.
Well, you can't put together anything. Can't put together anything.
I can't. We already know I can't put together cameras no. In small necklaces.
No, you can't play sports.
I can't play sports. And those are the only other careers.
Choices you have, exactly.
Yeah, it's like those two are acting. I was like, well, I guess I'll do acting.
I guess so. We'll stick with
what
this.
Choice do I have? So, anyway.
So, how was your time at the Emmys? Your first time at the Emmys?
Oh my gosh, I had the best time.
Yeah.
I was like a kid in a candy store. Yeah. It was the coolest thing ever. I was seeing so many people. First off, I was seeing friends there.
Yes.
Which was really cool. Yes. I felt like I belonged there, dare I say.
You did.
And also so many people I respect. And
Did you talk to anybody that you always want to talk to?
Yeah, I talked to Margaret Cho.
Wow, I like her. It's good.
I love her. I love her. I mean, I love stand-up comedy. And, you know, I've always been a big comedy fan. And so I've seen her specials. And I was standing on the red carpet and I looked to my right and I went, oh, God. And she's like, what? What? I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just a big fan.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, I mean, that was really neat. But yeah, you know, I just was so excited to be there, to be included in something like that. And to be, you know, I haven't been on the soap long, and I already got to be at the Daytime Emmys celebrating this part of our industry. It was so cool.
Were you, because all the clothes... How about you and the clothes? Did you know what you were going to wear? Were you nervous about what are you going to put on? I mean, the guys too nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, if I do it next year, I'm going to, you know, do it better. I wore a black suit that I wore to my sister's wedding because it was like a tux. That's all I had. It's the only thing I had. But I found out I was going to go the night before.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a very last-minute thing.
Okay.
I was very much at peace with the, okay, I'm not going, that's fine, you know. I'm new to the show, maybe I'll go next year.
Yes.
But then I got a last-minute ticket, and it just all happened so quickly. And so I threw on this tux, and I just, you know.
Well, you looked very nice. I saw you when you talked to Matthew. You looked very nice.
Thank you. I'm just saying I can do better. I'm playing Saul the Tailor. It could have been tailored a little better, you know. We could have, you know, gotten a better fit. My whole character is about a good fit, and I couldn't get a tux that, you know, whatever. But it also doesn't matter. You know, I always watch those red carpet shows, though, and like, talk about Saul the Tailor. And when people say, who are you wearing? In my head, I'm like, who cares? I don't care. That's how I feel watching award shows. But
that's
I
so
know
funny.
Not a lot of people share that.
No, they don't. So they want to know who it is.
And I respect that people love the fashion. I am working on I'm playing a fashion-centric character.
Yes.
I could care less about
that. Isn't that hilarious? Isn't that hilarious?
I could care less. I mean, I would have come here in sweatpants if Jennifer hadn't yelled at me and said, take those off and put on a collared shirt. And I was like, okay.
I would have too, actually, but I can't really, you know.
I watched clips also. I mean, not only to just watch your show and enjoy it, but also to see, okay, what do people wear on this thing? And I saw what Pearson was wearing.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, maybe, what if I just came wearing the exact same outfit
that Pearson? That would have been funny. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I couldn't have put this together fast enough.
And if you had, you had to warn me so I could post a picture at the same time and say, this is what Pearson wore when he was on the show.
Yeah. And I'm just, you know.
Or you could came dressed as like Heather Thomas. She came on the show.
That would have been great. She dresses very well. Hey, I wasn't sure what to wear, so I came wearing Heather Tom's Emmy dress. I found it in storage, so here I am, and let's talk about Iron Fist. Okay.
Right, exactly, why you want a dress.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Anyway. Somebody says, from London, they're sending love to you. You are very funny.
Thanks.
We said he is very funny, sending love from London.
I love London.
Well, the thing is, you're on an international soap. Not just a daytime, you know, American, but this show goes around the world.
It's really cool.
Have you felt the impact yet of that, or not yet? Like in fans or anything, or nothing?
Not really yet. Like I said, I don't really believe that I have.
See, now fans. That I brought it up, it's going to happen now to you. All of a sudden, you're going to start getting that flood.
Well, I should only be so lucky as to have, you know, people who appreciate what I do on the show. That would be just wonderful. I hope that people do.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, trying hard and hoping that they, you know, like what I'm doing. So.
Well, you are doing good work.
Thanks, James.
Is there a musical? This is my own question.
Yeah.
My dream would be, I mean, I'm not the greatest actor or singer, but I
don't believe that. I mean, you're so charismatic and you have this great booming voice.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I'm sure you're underplaying this.
Yes. I love to do a musical one day. I think it'd be so cool just to try it once.
Yeah.
Is there one that you would love to do?
A musical I'd love to do?
Yes.
Ooh,
I'm sure you would do a bunch of them, but is there one you're like, that's one I would love to do. I would just would love to do that.
That's a very hard question.
Okay.
I'm afraid to answer it.
Okay.
Because I don't want to jinx it.
Okay, there you go. I believe in that. That's
but
you fine.
Know, but I will say this. I love new musicals. I love new work. I love developing things. And I love so many of the new things that are happening on Broadway and the way that theater can reflect the things that we are going through today.
Dear Evan Hansen, which I want to see so bad.
Yeah, it's incredible.
You saw it?
I've seen it twice.
I want to see it. It was sold out when I was there. When I was like, I want to see it so bad.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
If you get any cast album right now, check out Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah. I have no personal investment in this other than it's such an incredible show.
Yeah.
Written by people who I really love and respect. It's so beautiful and contemporary pop music with like the best voices on Broadway. It's just great. Check that out.
You want to see it? I'm finally seeing Hamilton when it comes to LA. Finally.
Oh, it's so good.
I love the music, so I can't wait to see it.
It's
I'm
very,
so
very exciting.
I got a ticket. I was so happy.
Good.
It was a little crazy, but I got tickets. It's
a great show.
I'm excited. But no, but Dear Evan Hansen's one I really want to see. And I'm like, it was hard. When I was there, it was sold out.
Well, one day. You'll see it one day. I don't think it's going anywhere.
I don't think it's going anywhere either, so that's cool. But yeah, he wants to work for any musical you have out there, he'll do.
I didn't say that.
Oh, you don't say that? Okay.
Hey, I'll do anything. Hi, it's Alex Wise. I'm desperate.
I can see you doing any musical. I'll change it down. I can see you doing any kind of musical.
Yeah, cool. All right.
You're great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been really fun.
And I look forward to seeing what else goes on in your whole career in general, but also on Bone Beautiful, of course, that's all. Thanks. We want you to win. Basically, everybody's in here, Cindy, wants you to win.
I want me to win, too, and I have not given up yet, despite what that cruel poll said about me. 93%.
Get out of them.
Screw that.
Polls can't always be accurate. They're not scientific.
I am going to make love to Sally Spectra. You heard it here first. Sweet, endless love that lasts over 4 episodes.
Wow. 4 episodes. Wow. That's okay.
Yeah.
And see, here's the thing. Thomas could hurt her, and she comes to you for comfort.
Well, listen, I don't think...
That can happen.
I don't think their honeymoon can last forever.
Exactly. It can't. He's a forester, right?
And here I am, all 5'7" of me.
Yes.
Ready to go.
Here I am, the one that you love. Yeah, exactly. See him. He's here. He's ready. We do it. Alex Wise, you guys, where can they find you on social media?
On Twitter, I'm at Alex Wise, and Instagram, Alex J. Wise, because someone stole my name. So follow me.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Because your last it's not a common name.
I know, and they don't even use it.
Why? Hey, oh my God, I hate that.
Isn't that horrible? It's the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone.
First world problems.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Really, thank you for having me. It's really been great.
It's my pleasure. And he's on Bold and Beautiful, which is on CBS every day. CBS. It's on. It's good. You can follow us on the Bold Breakdown, which is here every Sunday at 8 p.m. and our Facebook page, and this will be on there also. And on iTunes and on YouTube, this interview will be under the Bold and Beautiful After Show, and it's a Bold and Beautiful interview. And you just type in Alex Wise. That's Wyse. Type that in, you'll be able to see this interview over and over again. Or go on iTunes and listen to us talk.
Because we're bold and we're beautiful.
Ooh, yes, he's good.
Goodbye.
And he's done. We'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.